Inside the cover of the new CD by the Five Browns, you'll see Desiree, Deandra, Melody, Greg, and Ryan all posing with tiny pianos. Tiny pianos that look like little boxes. Inside those boxes are memories of their childhoods. These five siblings are best friends, so they have a lot of joyful memories, and there's also some difficult memories too, including those tied to the three sisters who were sexually abused by their father. In fact, just a few years ago, Desiree and Deandra launched a nonprofit foundation for survivors of abuse to provide hope, encouragement, and empowerment to survivors of abuse everywhere by working to remove the statute of limitations for crimes of sexual abuse. The little tin box is filled with memories of hope, and you'll hear more about them from Greg and Deandra in this edition of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. Well, first of all, I just want to start off by asking you, you're all somewhat scattered around the country now, so I'm wondering how you're still finding ways to make music together.
Well, you know, it's been really tough to be making music together right now during a pandemic. Yeah, so two of us are in the D.C. area, two are in the Salt Lake area, and then our oldest sister is in New York. So we haven't really been able to make much music together is the short answer to that. We were finally able to play together for the first time, actually, it was this week. We were all in one spot together for the first time, and we gave a benefit concert in conjunction with the new album release for the National Children's Alliance. And that was a live stream event, and it was our first concert in 10 months, and it felt really good to be back on stage.
Yes, I am in Salt Lake City, and Greg is in D.C., and I hadn't seen him for 10 months until just this past weekend. So it was nice to be able to finally see my good friends that have been scattered across the country.
I know that all of you are really good friends, and maybe that plays into this recording called The Little Tin Box, which is a collection of childhood memories. Why did you all want to make this recording?
The Little Tin Box was something that the five of us have talked about for many years now. I think especially since our previous album, The Rite of Spring, was kind of like our angst album where we kind of just threw our emotions into it and were able to kind of purge some of those difficult emotions and feelings in our lives. And so it seemed like a natural response to that album to then dive more into the beautiful and simple and, you know, carefree moments of our childhood as well. So when we talked about what we wanted to put on an album that was reminiscent of childhood, we thought through many of the pieces that we had grown up listening to that were important to our childhood, also pieces that maybe the average listener would be familiar with, and we wanted to kind of dive into the complexities of childhood, the, you know, different emotions that you feel. Even if you haven't lived through trauma or abuse in your childhood like the five of us did, I think everyone can understand the mixture of emotions that you have to kind of dig through as you grow closer to your adult years. Childhood has so many beautiful, fun, and wonderful memories, but also some darker and more difficult memories for even the average child. So it was an opportunity for the five of us to kind of look back on our childhood and remember the beautiful memories at the same time as kind of start to understand and decipher those difficult memories too. So we wanted to share that process with our listeners, and hopefully they'll be able to, you know, process their own journey through working through childhood.
Greg, you have said that this recording is by far the most personal and meaningful album that you all have ever recorded. Can you explain more why that is?
I think for a couple of reasons. For one, some of the pieces on the album are pieces we actually played when we were kids. And so just kind of feeling that, like when you play a piece of music that you played when you were a child, suddenly a just a rush of memory comes back and you can kind of imagine yourself as a kid again. It's very strange. It's almost like you jump back into your childhood mind and body, right? While you're playing the music. So that is a very kind of personal and powerful experience. But in addition to that, you know, it's the album itself is just reflective of our personal memories. And I think kind of going through that journey with the five of us, kind of, so for instance, there's a piece called Skater's Waltz on the album, and it reminds us of the fun times we used to have during the winter, whether we were sledding or skating or and all of those memories are with each other. And so kind of delving into that, I think, is what made it so personal for us.
When we open the recording, the CD, inside, there is a picture of each of you, and each of you are holding a tin box. Are these real tin boxes that have your memories in them?
You know, each of us kind of grew up with a special little box of some sort that we collected, you know, some of our most favorite little belongings. So the picture you see is reminiscent of that. We're actually, I think, holding tiny little pianos, if you look really closely too, which is sort of a beautiful idea of a tiny piano that's 10, that's sort of reminiscent of childhood. And you know, some of the beautiful moments of our childhood are attached to the music. And so it's been an interesting experience growing up and pulling out those little tin boxes and looking through. It's like a blast from the past, looking through things that were so important to you as a child. I know Melody said she recently had moved into a different home and had refound her tin box again. And she was pulling out little micro machines and like little ticket stubs and things that just remind you, flood you back to this point in time where these things were so important to you and they were representative of some of your best memories. So it's kind of a beautiful moment to think about those little tin boxes, either figuratively or literally, that each one of us have in our lives.
Deandra, what was in your little tin box? Do you recall?
You know, I had some ticket stubs and I had a couple of medals from some piano competitions back in the day. I had some little charms from a charm bracelet. I went through a stage where I collected all these different charms from different places that we would visit. So there was something kind of beautiful about sifting through each one of those little charms as it was attached to a memory from my childhood. I think the best memories that I have from that time period all had, in one way or another, were attached to my brothers and sisters. And so it's kind of, it's interesting to think that even when you go through difficult moments in your childhood, there are still these nuggets of beauty that you can find amidst even the more difficult times.
Greg, in this photo, that little piano is on your head. Are you the family comedian or what? What are you doing there?
Oh, you know, once in a while, you got to like try and lighten the mood a little bit, right? No, I don't know. I think like most people, I have kind of very different sides of my personality. Sometimes, you know, when we're rehearsing, I can be more serious. And other times when I'm just not feeling serious, I'll just be really, really weird. So, you know.
You know, our brothers are amazing. They have impeccable timing. They will, if something is getting too intense or serious, like they'll crack a joke and kind of calm everything down. I think our brothers have been incredibly supportive and have really kind of watched out for their sisters throughout some difficult moments throughout time. So we're very lucky to have them. They always make sure they have our backs and we definitely don't take that for granted.
Let's talk about the music on the recording. Deandra, which of these pieces are most meaningful to you and why?
There is a piece on the album from Peer Gynt's Suite, Anitra's Dance. The reason this particular piece is really meaningful to me, as it was one of the very first four-hand duets that my sister Desiree and I learned together. And we must have been about 6 or 7 years old. So I think I was 6 and she was 7. And it was our first opportunity to learn and play a piece together. And we've sort of made it our life's journey now. Desiree and I play a lot of four-hand pieces, a lot of two piano pieces. It's become our passion and our love. So when we thought about what to put on this album, we had recently stumbled across old video footage of the two of us playing Anitra's Dance. And it just seemed like a perfect merger to attach to that part in our childhood and replay it again as adults. And so it made me have this special appreciation for my relationship with Desiree and this life journey of playing together. And it felt like coming full circle a little bit to put it on this album.
Greg, how about for you? Do you have some personal favorites and why?
Yes, I think the piece or the group of pieces that was most meaningful to me personally is the group of pieces from Schumann's Kinderszenen, which is scenes from childhood. And I actually played these pieces when I was 8 and 9, I think. No, 9 and 10. And revisiting them as an adult has been a really cool and also sort of strange experience. You know, when you're a kid, you kind of see the piece through your child eyes, right? And it makes sense, I think, on that level. But as an adult, when you revisit it, it almost feels like Schumann was making the piece as an adult looking back. And it takes on a whole new meaning, I think, when you play the piece from that lens. So I've got, you know, the famous Traumerei on there, along with a few others. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like when you play it, it's sort of this kind of combination of joy and a little bit of sadness, right? Like the joy of the beauty of it. And the sadness, I guess, it's kind of tinged with the fact that, you know, those beautiful moments of your childhood are gone now, right? And they're only existing now in memory. So that's a complicated joy and a hopeful joy, I think.
You've touched on this a little bit, but I'm going to ask it again in case there's something else that comes to your mind. As you were putting this recording together, I'm wondering what each of you might have discovered about yourselves. And maybe it was a lost memory, perhaps.
You know, I think it's been a very personal project for us. Like Gregory had mentioned early on, like, this is not just an album that we threw together and decided, hey, let's just toss it out there into the world. No, we really thought through each specific piece and really kind of, I think personally, before we even approached each other about what we wanted to put on the album, we each personally kind of thought through what was reminiscent of childhood to us, what were some of our most important memories. And it's interesting that you asked this question because I don't think the five of us had a discussion where we said, hey, what memory is attached to this specific piece or not? I know my memories personally attached to, Rondo alla Turca was one of the first pieces I remember hearing on an old cassette tape that I received by winning a competition. I was able to choose a cassette tape at this record store, and I remember thinking, wow, this is such a great piece. And so it's tied to some memories of, you know, sitting in my bedroom and playing with Legos and playing Rondo a la Turca in the background. And then, of course, Anitra's dance that I mentioned, sitting side by side with Desi. And then, you know, the mold out. Seeing it in some old-timey cartoons and hearing the themes merge throughout, you know, commercials over time. So I have very strong, beautiful memories attached to many of these pieces, but even the Beethoven Fifth, which is, you know, one of the most famous pieces that we'll probably ever come across, it's attached to like some more difficult memories too, of like, you know, hearing the piece and realizing what Beethoven was going through in his personal life. And now as an adult and looking back on, you know, the difficult memories I had as a child, music has such an attachment to memory and such an attachment to our emotions that there's a natural healing and purging that takes place a lot of times when we listen to music. And I think it was definitely true for the five of us. And we hope that as people listen to different pieces, that they'll be able to attach their own memories and their own emotions to it and be able to feel a sense of you know, release of those emotions as they start to process through their childhood.
It's interesting that you reference Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and that being a hard memory for you, and yet you still chose to put it on the recording. I mean, some people might choose to kind of stuff those memories down and say, nope, we're not doing that one. But you faced it head on. What allowed you to be so brave?
Oh, well, thank you for what. There are difficult moments where you sort of are faced with these challenges from your life. And quite honestly, I have at times shoved those emotions away until I'm ready to deal with them. I think that's why the timing of this album is right for the five of us, because we are finally ready to kind of dig through some of these places in our past and really discover and deal with the emotions and the difficulties from that time period. With that said, though, there's an important process, I think, through dealing with these emotions and trauma and things in particular in your lifetime. You have to wait till you're ready. And when you're ready, you can start to kind of, you know, peel away the onion and like start to understand and really feel bit by bit how these emotions and how these experiences have led you to where you are. So I think my greatest advice to people is, as you start to kind of look backwards, make sure that you're prepared and you're at a good place in your life. And if you're not, just set it aside. So that's what I think the beauty of music, like everybody can take that piece of music and they're going to interpret it differently. They may hear Beethoven Fifth and think something completely different, but, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, they may listen to it and finally be at a place where it equals different emotions and they can process it differently.
That also is a piece, Beethoven's Fifth, that features all five of you. Is there any significance to that, that all five of you are featured on that work?
I think practically we thought that it was going to be a piece that would fit really nicely on five pianos. And it does, because, well, our arranger Jeffrey Shumway has done a really great job on that. And it's really challenging for an ensemble, I think, for five percussive instruments to play at the same time. The famous, you know, ba-ba-ba-ba, right? You don't want it to be everybody playing their notes at different times. But yeah, I mostly that was a practical choice to have the five of us together on that. But, you know, at the same time, we on this album, we've got a huge mixture of a lot of solos, some duos, and, you know, the five piano pieces as well.
Greg, how about you? What have you discovered about yourself in putting this recording together?
Yeah, I like that question. I think I would say that the thing I've learned the most is that no matter how hard things get, and this year has been a pretty good example of things getting hard, I think, there's always beauty accessible somewhere, right? Whether that's in the world around you, in the people around you, and for the purposes of this album, more specifically inside your mind, right? In memory, right? Because as Deandra has said, you know, our memories of childhood are complicated, right? And that was kind of the point of this album, really, is that it's sort of a complicated album, right? It's not just happy music, right? It's not just terrible, sad, painful music. It's all of it, right? And I found a lot of joy, actually, in creating this project with my siblings, in looking back and recognizing and acknowledging the pain, but really embracing the joyful parts and the beautiful moments. And to be able to do all of that with, you know, your four best friends has been a really powerful and emotional experience.
So this song is called I Wish I Could Turn Back Into a Kid.
The recording closes out with an improvisation from your niece, Poppy, who is Desiree's daughter. Greg, are you also Poppy's teacher? Do I remember that correctly?
I am. Wow, that's a fantastic memory. you know, it's really, we were not planning on having that be part of the album, honestly. But she's just such a special little person. And she is always improvising at the piano and making these beautiful songs. And my sister, my oldest sister, Desiree, happened to turn on her iPhone recording while Poppy was playing. And, you know, just some sort of magic just happened. And she's creating these lyrics on the spot, and they're so poignant and powerful. And once I heard it, you know, we were like, how can we not just add this on the end of the album? It's kind of perfect. It kind of speaks exactly what we're hoping to communicate from the album.
I wish I could turn back into a kid again. I wish I could go back in time.
The title of that piece is I Wish I Could Turn Back Into a Kid. I'm just wondering, have either of you ever thought about that? Is there a moment in time where you wished, oh, I wish I could go back to this point in my life as a kid and relive that, maybe even just for a day?
You know, it's funny, I have thought about that. Would I want to go back if I could? And what would I tell my young self if I had the opportunity? And I've thought about it over the years. I was a very shy child. I quite literally was afraid of my own shadow as a two-year-old, ran into the house like, ah, it's my shadow. I don't know what to do with it. But I feel like as I've grown older, I've found my own voice. I've become a lot more confident. So if I ever did go back, I would have challenged my tiny self to be much more confident and to, you know, find strength in my own voice and in my own thoughts and not be so afraid of doing every little thing wrong. Like that's how you grow and how you mature. I was so afraid of being perfect, and whether it was my music or, you know, the things throughout, you know, my childhood life, I wanted everything to be a very specific way. And as I've grown older, like, life's too short to worry about all these little things. And if I could go back, I would say enjoy the fun moments, enjoy the beautiful moments more, and appreciate the opportunity you have with your siblings who were also tiny at the time. But I also look at our life now, the five of us, to be able to tour and perform and do what we love together. And what an amazing opportunity to get to know each other as adults, too. I mean, you have your childhood relationships, right? And and you knew each other as siblings and you argued and you know, you had these moments together as siblings, but you don't really get to know each other as grown adults. And I think it's been a beautiful process to get to know Desi and Gregory and Melody and Ryan as individuals and not just as, you know, your siblings or as the Five Browns. So I think I would tell myself just to appreciate all the little moments. And even though there's difficult moments, to know that those are not going to live forever. Like, you'll get through those times, and to appreciate those beautiful moments where you get to enjoy being with each other and you get to create these wonderful memories.
How about for you, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I think there are times that I would love to go back to. I have all of these sort of snapshot memories, right, of just really sweet, beautiful moments. You know, whether that's the five of us on the big sledding hill in front of our house as kids, which we spent almost all winter on every year, just going up and down the hill and laughing with each other in our snow clothes, or grabbing every single stuffed animal in the house and making them have a tea party with the five of us. All those, you know, beautiful moments like that. But the thing is, we do actually get to sort of relive those. And it happens on stage together and when we're playing music. When we're playing a piece like Rondo a la Turca, we can kind of relive those stuffed animal tea parties together as siblings. Or when we're playing the Skater's Waltz, we can imagine being up on the sledding hill together. We do get to sort of relive those through music, and I think that's part of the power of music and why we love it so much.
This recording is not a holiday recording. When I first received it, though, I thought maybe it was, because I thought, oh, the little tin box. It made me think of, like, the little tin soldier, or how you might get a little music box for Christmas. You did, however, decide to release it during the holiday season. Why is that?
You know, we thought for a while now, we were like, okay, when do we want to release this album? When's the right timing? And we thought, this has been such a difficult year for so many families. And in particular, I think children are taking the brunt of some of the difficulties of this year of pandemic. And we thought, as we are in this time of year, people are more reflective and they're very focused on their families and on memories and traditions. And so it seemed like a good fit to not only release it with that understanding, but also to help bring about discussions about children and watching out for the children in our lives, and making sure that even during these difficult pandemic months, that in particular, we're focusing on the effects on our children. And so we thought, as siblings, that it was important to have these discussions about protecting our children and making sure that we watch out for them, and also about making sure that as families, that people feel connected to each other as much as possible, even though we're spread out, everyone's spread out all over the country, that you can feel this connection to your roots and to the people that are closest to you. And what better way than to feel that connection through music and through memory. And so even though it's not a holiday album, we felt like its release came at an important time for families and for people dealing with so many different emotions at this time of year.
I know also that you are donating albums and proceeds as part of a philanthropic partnership with the National Children's Alliance. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yes, you know, the National Children's Alliance is an organization that the five of us hold really dear to our hearts. They are the umbrella organization for all of the children's advocacy centers and children's justice centers across the country, hundreds of them. And those are places where children who have been abused can go to speak with law enforcement and to basically help them find a safe space. It's really important work that they're doing. And we thought that this album was sort of a great way to kind of hopefully bring some awareness and some actual funding to such a great organization.
Is there anything else either of you wants to add, either about this recording or maybe what's coming up that you'd like us to know about?
Well, you know, I feel like it's so important for individuals to think about the different aspects of your life and the different emotions that you've gone through. And to, when you're ready, start to kind of sift through these different emotions from your childhood and from life in general. And what better way than through pouring yourself into music in one way or another? Music and art are so interconnected with healing and with discovery and with finding the beauty in life that we just always challenge people to just pick up music when you're having a rough day or throw your emotions into an instrument if you can, just to find some sort of outlet because we're all pretty isolated at this point in time. And so we just are hoping in our small way to provide an outlet for people to experience these emotions and be able to try to process them in a healthy way. And we ourselves as brothers and sisters and as musicians feel so incredibly blessed to be able to perform the music that we love together, to share these intimate parts of our lives with people all across the world. I mean, what a huge opportunity that is for musicians to be able to feel like you can connect with strangers halfway across the world because you shared this commonality of emotion and experience with people you've never met. I mean, how many different things can you say would equal a connection of that sort? So our hope as we all continue through this era of the pandemic is for people to just find those outlets for yourself, find music, find art, find those nuggets in a relationship, something that you can cleave to just to help us all through this difficult time. And we'll get through it. We always do. And as musicians, we will then take those experiences and those emotions and we'll pour it into something else that we can all hopefully benefit from. I think the arts world, we all feel so isolated right now, but just watch, there's gonna be an incredible resurgence of art after this period. And we're gonna, I have no doubt, we are going to see some amazing pieces of art that come about through all this difficulty.
The little tin box filled with childhood memories from the Five Browns. If you're enjoying new classical tracks, the best thing that you can do for this show is to tell somebody else about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher.